All right, if you would, this morning, please turn to Acts 27. Acts chapter 27. And we're going to read 18 through 32. Acts chapter 27, verses 18 through 32. But before we get there, I would like to share a story with you that I came across. And this story is of a mountain climber who desperately wanted to conquer the highest mountain in the Argentina Andes. He initiated his climb after years of preparation, and because he wanted the glory all to himself, he went up alone. As the day passed and it began to get dark, he did not stop to camp for the night, but kept going. Night fell, there was no moon. Clouds covered the stars, visibility was zero. Everything was black, he could not see. As the climber neared a ridge at about 100 meters from the top, he slipped and fell into the total darkness below. In those anguishing moments when he was in free fall, memories flashed through his mind, both good and bad. He was certain he would die, but then a jolt almost tore him in half like any sensible mountain climber. He had used pythons and a long rope tied around his waist to stake himself to the mountain. The top python held and the rope broke his fall. Suspended blindly in midair, he would reach for a ledge but was unsuccessful. In the terrifying moments that followed, as he hung suspended, he cried out in desperation, "Help me!" He cried out to God, "Help me!" Perhaps he heard a voice, "Cut the rope." This is only a suggestion to a true story. Perhaps he heard, suspended in midair, eyes cannot see what's in front of him. You need to cut the rope. And the reason I say that is because as the man held all the tighter, perhaps even swinging slowly back and forth in the night, hoping in vain just to make contact to the side of the mountain, but he wasn't touching anything. And I'm saying all that because the next morning, climbers actually found this man the next day. He was still hanging from the mountain. He was frozen to death. And he was only 2 feet from the bottom. Unseen by him, the ledge would have been a safe spot where he could have dropped, where he could recover, built a small fire, gained warmth, and camped out for the night. You see, cutting the rope would have actually saved his life. And it's true in life that there are things we must cut away in life that are necessary for our survival. And that's the road I'm traveling this morning. That's the idea, the process of thought this morning, is that there are things that we must cut away in life that are necessary for our survival. Talking about living for God. Talking about accomplishing the will of God for your life. Your personal will for God. I'm talking about destiny. So this morning, I want to talk to you about rope-cutting faith. We're going to look at a story that will relate to this in similar ways. It's going to help us. Acts 27, starting at verse 18. "We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. And on the third day, they threw ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. And after the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, 'Men, You should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, do not be afraid. Paul, you must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, man, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the sea when about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were approaching land, and they took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again and found it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. So the soldiers, they cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it fall away. Father, we pray this morning that you'd help us, that you would minister. We're asking your divine presence, but we're asking the conviction of the Holy Ghost to grip our hearts. Help us this morning. We need you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you about God's purpose. Salvation is an invitation to purpose. You see, there could be a wrong mindset that salvation, some say it's a get out of jail free card. They say this because it's the thought of just, you know, getting out of trouble. But salvation, it's more than just a Christian. Or let me say it this way. After salvation, we do not go on with just doing our own thing. You see, Christianity is not a hobby you pick up. It's not something that when you're bored, you drop it. It's not something God gives to do what we want with. It's not invaluable. You see, Jesus died and rose again to save us and give us purpose. He saves us, then empowers us with his Spirit to do his will. His will. Not ours. You see, we have something to reach for, church. And that's what I'm coming to in this point. We have something to believe God for in salvation. An opportunity to accomplish something big for God. You see, God loves you. He loves us. And he rescues us from our sin. But I want to tell you, amen, as we go on from, you know, our knees crying out to him for salvation, we enter into a relationship with God to where he then includes us into his will, into his purpose. And it's something that we call destiny. And we all have it. It's an opportunity we come into as we are salvaged from our sin in relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, we don't just get saved and become spiritual vagabonds. We just don't get saved, you know, and left to fend for ourselves, and you know, and we just come and go, and that's not salvation. Salvation, you come into a relationship and you come into destiny. We see this again and again play out, especially in the man that we're reading of this morning. His name is Paul. In Acts 26, we find his entrance into destiny, his purpose. Acts 26:16 says, but rise and stand up upon your feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. This is Paul's testimony. Jesus appears to him and he says, I have appeared to thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister in both and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which that will appear to thee. And so Jesus tells him, I've saved you for this purpose. God has saved you for a purpose, church. You're not here by mistake. God has called you here. He has something for you. He has purpose for you specifically. You know, people search for purpose, but I want to tell you, you find it in Christ. God seeks to accomplish great things through and in your life. Romans 8:28, we are called according to His purpose. Now, I thank God because He involves us. I mean, who are we? We are pathetic, sinful creatures. We even put on the cross the Creator of life, of all things. We murdered Christ. Now, I know you weren't there specifically, but humanity placed Him on that cross. And the same sin that raged against Christ and crucified Him is the same sin that we all struggle with even today. We are broken, sinful creatures, and it's a privilege to be useful with God. It's a privilege to be involved in the things of God. It's a privilege to be in church and to be of service. One of the things that stirred me as a new creature in Christ, a born-again Christian, is that I could be useful for God. That God could, you know, work in and through my life. That stirred my heart as a new believer, that God had something for me. I could involve myself into His eternal purpose. You see, church, purpose is found in the will of God. God will reveal to you in your relationship as you pursue Him. You draw nigh to God, God draws nigh to you. And as you build your relationship with God, you're going to find a will, God's will. You're going to find what God desires of you. As you go to church, you read your Bible, you pray, you build your relationship with God, you learn His heart. You learn God's character through the text, and He places this into your spirit. Listen, that there is a purpose that He desires that you get involved in. His purpose. And once I personally knew that what God wanted to do for my life, and I'm not talking some big event, I'm not talking that I got saved and eventually I came to find out that God wanted me to preach the gospel and that's His only one singular purpose for my life and I did it. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about day-to-day relationship. I'm talking about as you continue to live for God. Did you know the will of God? Listen, the will of God is something that you do every day. It's something that you do throughout your day. But once you know that what God has for your life, once you know that what God puts on your heart to achieve and to go after and to accomplish, this stirs you. God stirred me to outreach. God stirred me to people. He stirred me into the ministry. God would do this to you. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I want to talk to you about the great dilemma. When our purpose involves going through storms, there is a dilemma. Let me explain. Verses 24 and 26 in our story. Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men. For I have faith in God that it will happen just as He told me. But verse 26, I want you to hear this. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. So let me paraphrase. Paul, I have a purpose for your life. I have something I want you to do. God, I'm putting something in your heart. I want to accomplish something big with your life. But while you're going after this and while you're seeking to do what I've called you to do, you're gonna crash. You're gonna get involved into this storm. And you're going to become shipwrecked. And so God says that Paul will go to Rome, but he will run into a storm and crash. See, listen, it's not always going to be easy when we are pursuing the things of God. Amen. There will be hardships along the way, storms, crashes, burdens, difficulty. And it brings me to this question, and I thought about it, and I would like for you to think about it. What do we do when we are faced with the storms of life? What do we do? Now in verse 30 it says, in an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea. So in our text, these men started lowering the lifeboat so they could escape. You see, the storm prompted escape. And, difficulty has this way on us. Difficulty has a way of doing just that. We want to get out of our problems. We want to avoid, difficulty. None of us seek a bad time, a hardship. None of us are waking up in our day and saying, oh man, I can't wait to have a trial to go through today. No, we don't want that. And that's obvious. But here's the problem. We could perceive what God wants is too difficult. When we come to a storm, you know in your heart God wants you, amen, to God desires certain things of your life. God wants to bless you. God wants to break through in your life. God wants to give you victory. God wants to give you, amen, destiny. But we could perceive when faced with the storms of life that what God wants is too difficult compared to the storm I'm currently in. It's not possible. So what we do is we plan to abandon ship. We plan to escape the purpose that we are set out to achieve. And I just want to point to the storm for a moment and just remind you that the storm is a motivator. It's not there for you to escape. It's not there. God doesn't allow storms to bring fear in your life to where it drives you away from His purpose and will. Why would God call you to do a certain thing? Why would God put it in your heart? Why would God bring you into church? He's not trying to drive you out of the church. Why would God stir you, to get involved? Why would God, call you? Why would He give destiny if He just wants you to abandon it? He doesn't. And the problem is we look at a storm and we perceive it's just too difficult. But then again, storms motivate. Storms, what they motivate is faith. Verse 25. Paul said, so keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as He has told me. You see, when we are going through the storms of life, our anchor is trusting God. Trusting God. Hell will try anything to get you to run away. Hell will try everything it can for you to abandon God's will for your life. Hell would try to run you off from this church. Hell would try to run you off from your spouse. Hell would try to run you off from your family. Hell would try to run you off, amen, from people who love you, who pray for you, who invest in you spiritually. Hell would try to make you run away from responsibilities. Destiny, purpose, and calling. Ultimately, hell just wants you to run away from the things of God. And he will do anything in his power. I'm talking about Satan. He will do anything in his power to get you to do that, to abandon God's will for your life. So, church, I declare that God will allow storms. Not for the fact to get you to abandon His will. God allows storms to motivate your faith in Him. It gives you an opportunity to trust Him. How are you ever going to learn to trust the God of the Bible, the God that you are trying to get closer to, if you do not reach for Him? Well, the problem is with humanity is we usually don't reach for God until we're in trouble. So God allows storms to motivate faith. God allows difficulty to trigger the desire in you to cry out to Him. God allows storms so He can help you, so He can get involved, so He can be there, so He can include His power, His hand, His word to deliver you. God wants to help you. Hebrews 11, listen to what it says. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Trusting God is the act of cutting away outside possibilities. In our text, they cut away the lifeboats. It says in 31 and 32, then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. So the soldiers, they cut away the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it fall away. When our flesh seeks another way, hell tempts you to escape. But the strategy, our divine strategy for the will of God for our lives, you're going to have to learn. There's going to be moments when you're going to have to cut away the ropes. You're going to have to cut away your flesh. You're going to have to cut away things that was seek to pull you away from the will of God. You must cut off the things that pull you from His purpose. If something is pulling you away, this could be a sinful relationship. If something is pulling you away from coming to church, I would dare think to look into that in prayer and cut that away. If something is pulling you away, right, from faithfulness, from reading your Bible, there's things that we need to cut away. It could be recreational time you can cut away. The point is that we are set sail for destiny. We are seeking to overcome and be victorious and grow into and mature and accomplish all that God has for us. But along the way, there's going to be storms. And when these storms hit, I'm talking about difficulty. I'm talking about hardships that we come. And this could come in different shapes and sizes, different realities. But listen, I want you to understand, these things aren't meant to get you to, to go against your course. It's not meant for you to abandon your course with God. No, you need to stay on course. Don't allow difficulty to derail you, to make you turn the boat around or to jump an abandoned ship. No, you need to continue going for God. You need to continue living for God. You need to continue doing the will of God for your life. Mm-hmm. Cutting those boats away, this actually took an enormous amount of faith. Think about that. They can't see the stars. It's dark. The ship has been tossed every which way. They don't know what to do. They've thrown away their tackle, their food. They're starving. They haven't eaten in days. And in their mind, they're thinking that they're going to die. And they look over and they see lifeboats. If you're thinking you're going to die and you look at something that in the name itself, it says lifeboats. Listen, and they cut those away. That takes an enormous amount of faith. You know, sometimes trusting God, you won't understand it. Sometimes doing the will of God, it's going to be a total act of faith on your part. Because it looks easier if you just go against what God would want you to do. It looks easier if you just give in to your flesh. It looks easier in your perspective. But in God's, see, God can see better than we see. God knows what's down the road. He knows what's around the corner. He knows what's behind certain doors. You see, in His perspective, we need to cut the lifeboats. We need to stay on the ship. Sometimes trusting God, that's all you're going to have in your difficulty. You're just going to have, man, I just got to trust God. That's all you're going to have. You're going to look for a logical sense of meaning. You're going to try to, you know, calculate in the pros and the cons. But sometimes all you're going to have is just simply, you're just going to have to trust God. And that's okay, because that's what we're called to do. I want to close. I want to talk to you about the other side. Storms, as you very well know, but as in the thick of them, we tend to forget, storms are temporary. They're not forever. They will pass. You know, if you read the rest of the story, you find that God did what He promised. See, we have that privilege. You can read on in the chapter. You can read on and find that God did what He called Paul to do. They all lived, and Paul made it to Rome, just as God said. You know, we must learn to commit. Commit. Yeah, it's that word that challenges you and me. We need to commit. Committed people make it to the other side of a storm. Listen to Psalms 37:5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. You see, storms are an indicator for blessing. On the other side of the storm, Paul went on to do great things for God. Acts 28:8. Listen to this. It says, and it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of his fever, and Paul went into him and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. And so Paul was useful here. God did an astonishing work through his life. There was a healing crusade. God was moving through Paul, amen, in ministry and healing in people. It was a powerful scene. But because Paul cut away the lifeboats and faced the storm, we go on to read of greater things about him. Greater things. Things God did through his life. How do we know what God has for us unless we go after it, venture for it, believe Him for it? How do you know? How do you know God won't use you to win others to Christ unless you just go out there and outreach and start doing it? How would you know? Well, I'm not good with people. I understand that. Most of us aren't. But the thing is, how do you know? How do you know what God would do? Unless you give them a platform to do something in your life. That's what faith is. Faith is creating a platform for God to perform. Faith is giving room for God to move. Faith is saying, okay, God, you do your thing. I'm only here for you to do your thing. How do we know what God has for us unless we go after it and believe Him for it? You see, the book of Romans, it's interesting. The book of Romans came after the storm. In our text that we're reading, if you move on from the book of Acts, book of Romans. The book of Romans came after the storm. You know, some theologians have called the book of Romans Paul's greatest work. Paul's greatest work came after the storm. Tacitus is a historian. He referred to Christians in Rome persecuted under Nero in 64 AD as an immense multitude. Because of Paul's ministry in Rome, he brought multitudes to Jesus. Multitudes. Got it. He's a Bible commentator. He called Romans the cathedral of Christian faith. Mayer, another theologian, he said this, the greatest and richest of the book of Romans is the greatest and richest of all apostolic works. Listen to what Martin Luther said about it. This epistle is the chief part of the New Testament and the very purest gospel. It can never be read or pondered too much, and the more it is dealt with, the more precious it becomes and the better it tastes. That's what Martin Luther said about the book of Romans. We get four great doctrines from the book of Romans. We learn righteousness from the book of Romans. Justification, election, sanctification, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And what I'm getting to, it's not only the testimony of all these historians and theologians and great men of God that relate to the fact that after the storm, God went on to do greater things for Paul. But it's the sticking power I'm pointing to. Sticking to it. Fighting it out. Contending for destiny. Believing God for what He said. Paul said, I believe God will do what He told me He will do. And that's ultimately what we point to in the closing of our text. Don't be afraid of the storm. Go through it. Because you won't go alone. And it will make you better of a man or a woman than you were before you faced it. The greatest part is on the other side. God has great destiny for you and something even greater to reach for. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Just for a moment. I want to pull an altar call.